Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis.
A reading from Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers, and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant, or quick-tempered, or a drunkard, or violent, or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are giants in the faith, those who we look up to as living embodiments of the Christian faith in word and in deed, in love, in compassion, in forgiveness. Now, some of those would be, well, where are we today? Martin Luther, C.F.W. Walther, Irenaeus, Chemnitz, Augustine, President Harrison. Oh, I know, a shameless plug, but it's true. And before we get into this game of who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, because we know how that turned out, right? I'd like you to think of those great ones in the faith, the ones we call saints, not because they were holy of themselves, but like you and I, made holy by the very word of God. Our mothers, our fathers, grandparents, pastor at your own congregation, the one you look up to and say, now that's a pastor. That's the one. And God willing, it be true. Because pastors are a blessing for us. And there is a certain weight when they stick on this stole. A weight that, well, that St. Paul delineated here with Titus. One who's above reproach. Husband of one wife, his children are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. Hopefully my 2-year-old will grow out of that by the time he's 3, right? Hospitable. Or perhaps more in the Greek, lover of the stranger. Lover of good. Self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. One of the greats that stands out in Holy Scripture is St. Paul. Now imagine for yourself that you're Titus reading this epistle, and he says the overseer must be above reproach, lover of good, hospitable, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. That is why I left you in Crete. I left you there because you are these things. And now go find more of the same. To what end? That we might preach for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. St. Paul calls him his true child. His true child in a common faith. And as much as this epistle is about pastors, it is also about you, dear Christian. You who have heard the word, who've been baptized, made one in this common faith, the thing we hold together, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, man or woman, true children of our Heavenly Father, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now, St. Titus, according to tradition, died probably around the age of 96. It's rather hard to believe in a time and age when people lived to be in their 40s, and that was considered miraculous. Left there in Crete to set in order a chaos, as pastors are called to do each and every year. Sent forth into the chaos of this broken world that assaults our minds, our reason, our senses, that attacks the very root of our faith as foolish fairy tales, as a crutch for those who can't face reality. And that is why a pastor is given, to teach, to give instruction in that sound doctrine, in that word that brings life, that word that is unbelievable because it is so far beyond our reality. The word that brings us freedom. Freedom from our slavery to the passions that guide us, the whims and wind of this world that drive us places that we should not go. And to rebuke those who contradict it. To speak truth when it's uncomfortable. To speak love in a world filled with hate. To give us words as the Father has given them to the pastor, that our hearts, our minds, our lips may speak his redeeming love. To be giants in the faith with those who have called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. To be called such a thing is perhaps a heady thing. Might even start to get a little puffed up. That might be why St. Titus's head was venerated in Venice for almost 600 years. Got so full of himself, it popped right off. No, not arrogant, not quick-tempered, not a drunkard, not violent, not greedy for gain. Pastors that the Lord has given you are there for the sake of your life, to give you the knowledge of the truth. For as the old German saying is, Lehre ist Leben, doctrine is life, life found only in Christ Jesus. So the writers of Hebrews, he exhorts us to obey our leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Good and practical advice. Or we might say, in the words of Christ, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor, to love the stranger, to love your pastor, and your brothers and sisters in Christ, as God has loved you. We love because he first loved us. And thanks be to God for pastors, for his word, and for all of you. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.